Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bernie, and some of you will remember me. I'm pastoring in Cape Town under T.N.C. Jacobs, and it's a great honor and privilege this morning to come and share a word with you. Thank you, band. Wow, okay, they're gone. Thank you, band. That was really incredible. And this morning, I've got a prophetic word, and it's quite ironic how God works, and I really believe that C.S. has really set up the last 3 weeks. I believe I'm going to carry on from what C.S. was preaching to you guys the last 3 weeks. And we're going to be talking a little about the topic storm or tsunami is what I entitled the sermon. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to jump right in there. I would love to do long introductions. My wife tells me my introductions are way too long. I usually take about half an hour to introduce myself. And then do the jokes, et cetera, et cetera. But we're going to jump right in there. Have you noticed in South Africa, there's a lot of anger at the moment? Anyone? Amen? Have you noticed that there's a lot of bitterness in South Africa right now? Throughout the board. Right? Throughout the board, we find that there's a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger. I don't know how many of you work in Cape Town or do often work, have to go over to Cape Town. Anyone here that has to drive N1 or N2? And if you drive the N1 or N2, you must be a man or a woman of God. Okay. You have to be praying at all times. One, that no one crashes into you, and two, that you don't lose it. I don't know if you've driven with a Christian. If you want to know if a man or woman is really a Christian, go drive with them on the N1 in traffic or the N2. Okay, you will see how saved or unsaved they are. And with that, I start repenting. I get very unsaved in traffic. That's why I own a motorbike. I love arm squirreling. Okay, focus. We're going to go straight into the sermon this morning. There's a lot of anger in South Africa, and I would like to address that this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, remember, you said it's okay. Afterwards, we're going to pray together. There's a spirit that's ministering in our nation, and we're not calling it on its name. We're not noticing it. And this morning, I'd like to speak a little bit of that spirit. Now, if you know me, I know that the students here used to call me the demon hunter. That's unbiblical. I've never hunted a demon in my life. I don't know what that means. And I feel sort of like on the back foot because I'm already speaking about spirits as I step up here. So, this is not about a witch hunt. This is a word of encouragement so we can find freedom. See, what is deliverance? Great question. Thanks for asking that. Deliverance is walking from darkness into His marvelous life. That is deliverance. Coming into the light of God. That's deliverance. It's not about getting rid of things. I know that's part of it. But my definition is change of deliverance. It's becoming more like Jesus. Amen. It's not a witch hunt. Our country is suffering with a spirit of torment. And I'd like to speak a little about this. Because first of all, there's a torment. So this word I'm bringing has got two parts. It's got a part for the nation and a part for the church. Is that good? Because there are Christians struggling with torment. And charity starts at home. We need to clean out the house of God. And so I'm so thankful that I can continue with CS's sermons. I haven't heard it. I hope it's good. I hope it makes sense, and I hope this fits in very well. So when we speak about storm or tsunami, we're speaking about, is something a test of God in my life, or is something torment? That's what we're after this morning. Now, this is not something that I'm going to engage with you intellectually. This is something I'm engaging spiritually. You're not going to walk out, you're transformed in your mind. I'm praying that we're going to be transformed in our spirit, that our minds may transform after that. Are you with me? See, we've got bad habits. We think bad. We've got bad ways of thinking. And this morning, I'm hoping that we can transform something in our spirits so that later on our minds can pick this up. Is that good? Let's get into scripture. I've got a lot of scripture this morning, so let's work through it. James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Man, boom. Did you have a boom moment there? No? No boom? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. That's the second boom. Huh? You notice that shofar, I come from Shofar, Cape Town, and I don't know if you noticed, but shofar people are weird. Amen? You're a bunch of weirdos. Love you, you're weird. If there's any challenge on the face of this planet, a shofar person will do it. I'll go run the comrades. Yes. Tick. I'll go do an Iron Man. Yes. Tick. Half our church is later this year doing a comrades in Athens. Tick. It was the first place, the first comrades was, or first marathon was done, so they were going to do it in Athens. Shofar people are weird. But we enjoy, I think, the endurance part. Yes? No? Sometimes? But let's see what scripture says. You see, we endure so we can grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance, listen carefully, is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Boom. If this was the evening service, I'd do a mic drop here. Go home. Done. In scripture, we see all along the way from Old Testament to New Testament that the men of faith go through great hardships. We see them going through great endurances. David, Job, Joseph, Paul, Peter, Moses, Joshua, you name them, they did it. But there's something I want us to look at this morning. We're moving over to the scripture of Mark. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of, I'm not going to even try, in the region of Hansby. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tomb to meet him. We know the scripture very well. Can I ask, as we are rather intelligent people, it's very intimidating coming to Stellenbosch with the intelligence that's in this place. We Cape Townians, we only drink coffee. And we're creative. We're creative coffee drinkers. But can I ask that we follow the progression of the story? This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with chains. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered amongst these caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, bowed low before him. And he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Can we stop here for a second? To the demonic realm, Jesus is torment. Let me help us through this. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you have Jesus in your life, you bring torment to the powers of darkness. Now, that should excite you. That excites me. Let me tell you why that excites me. Because that means that no matter where I go, no matter what circumstance I'm in, no matter what evil comes before me, I have authority. You see, imagine I had to lock you, you know those movies, I'd lock you into a dungeon for 3 years. And I'd take you out of that dungeon and I'd put you in light for the first time. It will absolutely blind you, right? That's the experience that this demon that was speaking to this person, because this was a demon, wasn't the person, was having. That's the authority and power that we walk in, or supposed to walk in. Let's carry on. For Jesus already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there was many of us." Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send him to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." And I would love to spend more time in the scripture, but we're going to have to fly over this. We just don't have time. So Jesus gave him permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs and entered the herd of about 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. And they all plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled. Might be a good thing to do once you lose your whole livestock. To the nearby town and surrounding hillsides, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. Right. Now listen carefully what happens. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were afraid. They weren't rejoicing. They weren't happy. They were afraid. Then those that had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowds began begging with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. You'd think that when you see such a miracle, you'd be drawn to Jesus. But what we see the crowd doing is saying, "This is too much. Leave. Go away." And Jesus was getting into the boat. And the man who had been possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Isn't that incredible that this man's ministry just started right there? How many of us here are waiting for God to send us into ministry? How many of us here are praying, "Lord, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? Why am I here? Why am I here?" This man had 1 minute with Jesus, and he went and reached 10 towns immediately. Isn't that incredible? Right. Let's look at the word torment. What is torment? So according to the dictionary, it's severe physical or mental suffering. According to scripture, hell is torment and fear brings torment. This is my definition of torment. Torment is the absence of peace. Is that good? Hence, the absence of God. Now, that can be in a part of your life. That doesn't have to mean all of your life. That can be in a part of your life. And we're going to get deep into that this morning. So let's analyze torment. What does it do? Torment steals your peace. It spiritually cripples you. It emotionally brings illness. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13. Torment leads to enslavement. It leads to madness. And ultimately, it leads to destruction. We see that in the man with the legion of demons. So what is the tactic of the devil? What does our enemy do? See, when troubles or challenges come, now we just read when we started in James that there's an endurance that comes. But when troubles and challenges come, the devil often tries to sow torment in our troubles to break down our relationship and ultimately our trust in Jesus. Ultimately, the devil wants you to doubt God's goodness. You see, this legion, this guy, he tried all he could do. All right? He tried cutting himself. He got people to shackle him, to bind him. It didn't work. And then we see him at the feet of Jesus. I like to see that scene with him sitting in with his sanity back at the feet of Jesus. Perfectly clothed, normal, sane. Because Christ had given him mercy. And in that mercy, he found his ministry. Okay. So in any good movie, I love movies. I'm repenting. It's a repentance thing. I'm repenting that I love movies. I love movies. And you know those movies that you have the scene where the guy's walking. Oh my word, this to the cameraman, this stage is tiny. Okay, in Cape Town, I can walk 5 miles and 5 miles. This thing is like, I'm getting used to the size. I'm a walker. But you know those movies where it's a scene where the guy, I know you never watch these movies, blood's dripping and he's walking with a shotgun and he's got this deep voice like, Denzel Washington or what's that, Vin Diesel. It was a heavy day. You know that scene? Sorry, Tanis, I know. But then it says the night before. You know those movies? 3 months earlier, the night before. Okay, we're going to do a night before moment in Scripture. So let's look at Mark 4, the night before. Please follow the progression. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Typical. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Can we stop there? Guys, even Jesus had a cushion. Okay, it's biblical. You may use a cushion. The disciples woke up shouting, "Teacher, do you not care that we're going to drown?" Not only was he sleeping on a cushion, it was an amazing cushion because scripture says when Jesus woke up. Okay, so these guys are screaming at Jesus and Jesus didn't wake up when he woke up. It had nothing to do with the cushion. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then it's that Jesus moment where he goes, "Why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith?" See, they were absolutely terrified. Where did we see fear in the previous story? Okay, so there was fear in the crowds. Remember? Previous scripture. Fear in... I brought all my intercessors. Not all of them, some of them. Can you guys start praying? So there was fear in the crowds. It's not a catch. I'm not trying to catch you guys out this morning. Okay? No catches this morning. But Jesus' response is different. You see, when the legion guy came, he delivered him. When the storm came, he stops the storm, the same authority, the same power. But this time, he looks to his disciples and says, "Where's the faith, guys? Have you not got it? You do not understand." See, this is a storm. The previous story, the next day, with the legion, that's the tsunami. Okay. So a few years ago, when was it, 2013? I went to the Philippines where a cyclone had gone through, it was called Haiyan, something like that. The locals in the Philippines, they called it Yolanda. And I went to go and help out in the Philippines after this cyclone. And I went to one of the worst hit areas of the storm. I also led a team back in the day to Japan after the tsunami hit Japan. And the devastation is unexplainable. You can't explain to someone the devastation when you're there. It looked like 1,000 atom bombs went off. And the one night, and I mean, you're going from town to town to town in the Philippines, and there's just nothing and nothing and nothing, nothing left. No electricity, no water. I know you think no water. None, no electricity, no sewage, no nada, no schools, nothing. And to cut a very long story short, the one night I was driving, riding with these pastors, you see, I was there while the UN were there, and the UN all have armored vehicles. And they're riding around with armed guards. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with the UN? And the one night, we drove all day on these scooter bikes, these pukis, with no helmets. And I was hanging out with local pastors. They're a bunch of crazies. And we've been riding all day, and we're riding back the night. And a storm hits. Now, I know you think in the Western Cape, we know storms. A storm hit like I've never seen a tropical storm. And if you know anything about a little puchi, a little scooter bike, you can maybe see half a meter in front of you, except for the one pastor who had no light, and it's midnight. Okay? And it is not raining. It feels like it's, I can't explain it to you. I didn't know water can do that. You know, only surfers can, I can only explain this to a surfer. But the water's coming from everywhere. It's coming from the front, from the back, from the top, from underneath. Okay? And these pastors just can't ride any faster. Okay? Now, the problem is there are no more roads. I know you think in South Africa we've got bad roads. Okay? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's pothole to pothole to pothole, and we are flooring it. And I start praying in my panic because I've absolute fear. And I look at these pastors and they're all smiling. I barely can see them, but they're all smiling. None of us helmets, middle of the night, driving at speeds that's just ridiculous on roads that don't exist. And I'm starting to pray. And I'm praying, Lord, I'm going to die tonight. Now, for some of us, that might be funny. It wasn't funny then. It wasn't like I'm trying to be funny. I'm being fun. I literally thought I was going to die. I made peace with God that night. To me, I was in the middle of a tsunami. But to the pastors, it was just a storm. Are you with me? My experience was absolute torment. My experience was, I was praying that my wife would get an awesome husband after me. I kid you not, that was one of my prayers. I'd been married 6 months, 4 months, five, six, something like that. We'd just been married. Like, thanks, Lord, thanks for that. At least I tasted the glory. At least it was like amazing. When I come into heaven, marriage, guys, no problems. It's awesome. Honeymoon all the way. That was my experience. Still is, by the way. Storm or tsunami. So when is it a storm and when is it a tsunami? If CS ever asks me back, I'll leave this with you. There was a miracle that happened that night, but I'm not going to tell it this morning. Oh, that's how you sell yourself to come back. So let's look what Luke says. Luke says that it was an evil spirit and that he was completely under the demon's power. There was torment because it was demonic. It was demonic. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. I don't have time for all the scriptures this morning. We're going to jump further. All right. Okay, Bernie. Thanks for that. I don't have torment. I don't struggle with torment. I'm glad you brought that up. This is the word for South Africa. We have torment in our nation. But this is the word the Lord gave me for us as the church. Further on in Mark. Mark is amazing. Thank you, Mark. A story that we know very well. And there was a woman with a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the report about Jesus and it came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. You know how many of us go to other Christians and we say, brother, sister, pray for me. Now, I'm not saying your brother or sister is a physician, but you hear the point where I'm trying to make here. Sometimes we get so despondent because we've tried once or twice. For some of us, have tried 100 times. When we've put out our faith, we go to someone, we say, pray with me through this. Amen? And yet we are not healed. Yet we are not transformed. Yet that suffering hasn't stopped. See, this is a subtle torment. Is it not? I'm a male. I'm not going to go there. But I can only imagine that this is subtle torment. Let me explain to you what happens in the Old Testament or in the times of Jesus. Okay? So if you were bleeding as a woman, you were called unclean. This woman was unclean. And if you're unclean, it means no one may touch you.
It means you may touch no one. So for 12 years, she has been deemed unclean. That is torment. She's not allowed to be near crowds. Are you with me? And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And once again, his disciples are not getting it. They're not learning. They're slow. I love the disciples. Reminds me of myself. You see the crowds pressing against you, Jesus. And yet you say, "Who touched me?" That must have been Peter or one of those guys. It's like this, "Duh, Jesus." Okay? And Jesus is not too worried about what's happening there. Jesus is going because he knows something happened. But listen what he does. You just scroll down here. So Jesus says, "Who touched me?" But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Why does Jesus do this? Because Jesus wants to break the shame that is over this woman. Everyone knows she's unclean, but everyone needs to know she's healed. That's God's heart. Church, that is the heart of God for this nation. If we have Christ living inside us, this is what should happen on a Sunday. We should come together. We should worship like we did this morning. Christy, very much. Thank you so much. So amazing. Standing in faith just for God's presence. Thank you for that. And then people need to come in and they need to be healed of that torment in their lives. Because we're sitting in a nation that's tormented. And yet we're bickering about stupid things. We are missing, as C.S. was saying, in the end days that we're living in, we're missing the great opportunity that God is giving us as the church to this nation. We have too few prophets in this nation. We have Uncle Angus. Who else do we have? I don't know. Where is the African church? Where is the South African church? Where are we? In a place where we're seeing students marching. We see taxis marching and we want to go weird. We want to get weird about it. It's not against flesh and blood. There's powers and principalities, but we don't want to go there. You know why? Sorry, older people, but I keep bleeding. Keep bleeding. Huh? Apparently Shofar does this. I mean, we did Where Is the Love, and everyone was like Black Eyed Peas, you know, all of us. Everyone thought Black Eyed Peas was coming. That's why it was so successful. Don't tell the apostolic team. Yeah, you know that's where you can. I was waiting for the song the whole time. I was like, bring it. I don't even know how the song goes, but it's probably demonic. In any case. See, if we have faith, like this woman had, then the Lord gives and grants mercy. And he breaks shame.
See, sin is shame. Many of us here struggle with sin, year in, year out, year in, year out. Places where we can't get victory. Maybe it's drinking, maybe it's smoking, maybe you're a workaholic. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a lack of something, maybe it's a gain of something, whatever. But you keep bleeding. And what we stand in faith for is that Christ will come amongst our midst again. Christ is always where we are, by the way. Please, I know that there's some funny teachings out there. Where two or three, thank you, Christopher, scripture, come together, there God is. Done. But we're talking about a place where we allow the Holy Spirit to move to bring healing. Now, most of you, I've seen and known many years. Can I ask you a question? When you came to this church for the first time, are you more passionate about Jesus when you were then? Do you have more zeal for Jesus now than then? I was challenged in my chops the other day. Went to go to a leadership chat with Brian Houston. He was here for the men's conference at Hillsong and came and spoke to a few leaders and pastors. He's got more passion now for Jesus than he did 35 years ago when Hillsong started. He has more stamina endurance now than he did 35 years ago. His youth that he started with when they were 16 are now 50. And they're still hoing millies. They're still going for it. That man, I mean, I was looking, he's 60-something and his hair was like all slick back. I'm like, wow. Respect. I'm almost 40 and I'm still trying to, I'm trying. But the way he spoke, you can just pick up his passion. See, many of us talk about the good old days. If we talk about the good old days, we're in trouble. It means that what happened in the good old days was not transformed us so that we can bring the good old days now for the next generation. So if you talk about the good old days, then we're in sin. I'm in sin. If I talk about the good old days, I'm in sin. Ouch. I hope you're encouraged. Right. We're running out of time. How do I know, Bernie, if I'm going through a storm or a tsunami? Ladies and gentlemen, we need godly wisdom. We need to discern through the Holy Spirit if what you're going through is of the Lord or if it's not of the Lord. We need to start learning about accountability again. We've walked away from being accountable to one another. My greatest accountability partner is Eugene Dahlman. You all know Eugene. And my brother Ryan Trepter. Eugene's kind. Eugene or Bernie, how are you doing? And he'll warm me up. Ryan just walks in. Okay, when he's got that look, then I know, oh, hallelujah, here it comes. And he's in my church. And he'll grab me and he'll tell me, listen, Boot. Then I know. Now I need to listen. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and we need to work on K. I love it. I know me. I need accountability. I need authority. We need to understand and walk in the Sabbath rest of God. We need the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we flight that next two scriptures? If you can write down those scriptures, James 1, 13, 1 Corinthians, or 1 Chronicles, 10, 13. Okay. But Bernie,
yes,
Paul speaks about a thorn in the flesh. Thank you for bringing that up. He does. Let's take a look at that scripture. So to keep me from being conceited,
because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Doesn't that sound like most of us? Who thinks they're not wise? Come on. No, don't lie. You're lying now. You all think you're wise. Come on. If you didn't, you wouldn't have opinions. Okay? Our opinions are our wisdom. Okay? So we all think we're wise, so this can be for us. I know we don't think ourselves to be Paul, but we mostly think we're quite wise. Because of surpassing greatness of revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. If it's a test, listen carefully, it will draw you to God. If it's torment, it pulls you away from God. This brought Paul into a place of humility. You see, when we read scripture, we can't read it out of context. We have to read it in context, understanding that God is good, God is love, God is all-consuming, and God is sovereign when we read the scripture. Otherwise, we take it apart and we make it weird. Okay, so Paul had one leg and he was doing somersaults and rolling and he had a slur. No, that's not what that scripture is saying. It's saying that God allowed the enemy space to keep him humble. And dear South Africa, I love you dearly. We need humility. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, in the back in the old day, if you raised your hands, if you won a rugby game or you won a tennis game or something. In fact, in America, with American football, if you cheered after you got a touchdown, you gave us a skoorskrivers. It was seen as bad practice. Huh? You humbly did your touchdown and went back to the place for kickoff. Not doing backflips, summies, front of the TV. Not walking 14 times around the stadium. I mean, the Shark Stadium's empty and the province guys are still... And there's no one. No one. Everyone's gone, oh, cutting cups for bay. We lost. We're home time. Oh, we thank you. We thank the two of you. We see the two of you. Humility. Right. So, we need to end. Stop the torment. Stop the bleeding. See, we need to start making declarations as the bride of Christ in these end times. We need to start speaking life. Guys, I know it's hard. It's always hard for me when I'm in the car and the taxis are driving like taxis drive. It is incredible what they do. They are miracle workers. They make gaps where there is no gap. It's incredible. It's a miracle. They are endowed with miracle driving. When you sign up to be a taxi driver, they go, can you drive in the style of miracles? No, sorry. No. We need to start speaking life. We need to stir up our faith. We need to start encouraging one another. You know what the biggest sin in the church is? The biggest, please. There's so many. We're all human. But one of the big sins that we have is we don't encourage. We don't go, well done. Oh, that's amazing. Wow, you got a new car. God has blessed you. Wow, bless you. We go, oh, Lord, where's my car? I work harder. I deserve it. We need to encourage one another. We need to extend mercy to one another. Not point out people's sins. God is not sin conscious. Oh, you fell again. Yeah. We need to break the shame. You see, when we become sin conscious, we can't break shame because it brings shame. We struggle with shame in the church. And then we've got to learn to leave no man behind. See, we are so fast willing to sacrifice people. You slow me down, you're out. We do that in business too, by the way. Don't just look at the church. You don't cut the mustard, you're out. And then we need to trust God to bring back our zeal. When we become like David, when we become undone in the presence of God. Zeal. Can we stand? And I'd like to end with that last scripture before we pray. It says, He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God gave us. The reason you go through hardships is not for yourself, but for others. So you can be a blessing when someone else. So when someone else gets fired, no more shame because you got fired. You go and you say, man, I was fired. I know how it feels. I know what it means to have a family and not being able to provide. Let me help you through this troubled time. Hey, man, I used to do drugs, or man, I used to struggle with alcohol, or I really struggled to put down the cigarettes, brother. I know what it means to go through those troubles. I know what it means when you have a boss that doesn't treat you right. I know what it how it feels when someone drives into your car and drives off. And you can't afford that insurance. You can't afford to have that car fixed. I've gone through those troubles. We've become isolated. We come to the place where we don't know the person next to us is going through troubles. I bet you if you had to look to the person to your left, the person to your right, you don't know what they're going through. Not really. Not that deep place of torment that they're going through. Because there's shame there. We don't want to admit it. Because we're scared that we'll get banished. See, once that woman was healed, she still had fear. Because she knew she could have been stoned to death right there. And do we stand with stones or do we stand with mercy? Where we say, stand up, daughter, take off that cloak. You are no more unclean. You are clean. And this morning I'd like us to do two things. We're going to first pray for this nation. Is that okay? I'm an intercessor. I'm a watchman on the wall. I love praying. I brought my intercessors all the way from Cape Town. We woke up at like 6 o'clock so we could get coffee, 7 o'clock, Cape Town coffee. There is no other coffee. Let's go. Okay, you guys are doing great. Lenny, love you guys. Because we're going to have coffee afterwards with Lenny. I love intercession, so I'm going to ask. Look, I know there's students, you can turn off now, you can look at the ceiling. I know there's a few of us that's a little bit older. Can I tell you what the church needs in this time? We need maturity, we need elders, we need older people to help the students. I know they freak you out, I know you don't understand them, I don't understand them neither. I don't. They are strange creatures. But they need us. They need your wisdom, they need your love. Most of them don't know what a mother looks like. Most of them don't know what a father looks like. They have no idea. But we've become complacent because we don't feel we carry any more worth. If you're here today, you have worth. You have worth to the world, in Christ in you, in the world, and you have worth in the church, in the bride. We need to be raising up the next generation. Don't be scared of students. Invite them for a lunch with your family. Yes, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be awesome. They will be transformed in the chaos. because they're going to see real relationship. Pray and ask God how you can bless someone in the church. Let us pray. Father, we come and bring you South Africa this morning. As a few watchmen on the walls, we come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We declare that the time of torment in this nation needs to stop. And the time of the church needs to start. We've walked away from boldness, Lord. We've walked away from the calling you've given us, Lord. We've given up. Forgive us, dear Father. Where we're okay because we're together. Where we've become a community of our own. We're a community of believers, but we don't realize community means a community amongst a greater community. Lord, we've walked away from the way the early church works. You see, like you did, Lord, in those times, you took the church to the most hectic times. From Jerusalem, they went to Antioch, and from Antioch, they went to Rome, where the greatest persecution happened, Lord. I pray for that same boldness, Lord, that we can speak out and not speak stupid things and not be familiar or opinionated, but be godly and compassionate. And we can say to someone, it's okay, you're bleeding, just come in. Let Jesus touch you. Lord, the racism has to stop. The cultural divides, it has to stop. The segregation has to stop. It has to stop, Lord. Lord, we are that nation that hope has been deferred. Lord, in 94 we had hope. We had such hopes for a beautiful nation. But our hope, Lord, is disappearing fast. And we come and we ask to have hope restored in Jesus' name in this nation. Over our youth. Over our married people. Over our elders of this nation. We pray that we will be a voice in the wilderness. That we will be like Jan said. We will be like John the Baptist. Father, as all these farm murders have been happening, and tomorrow, Lord, is a day that people want to mourn, Lord, and we declare, Lord, that murder is wrong. But we pray for healing in this nation, in the church, and through the church. Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we'll not go to arms, but we'll go to peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. We declare that we are peacemakers in this nation. And that we hand out our hands to say, come and touch the garments of Jesus, for He's the only one that can take away your torment. In Jesus' name.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.